This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
In the next 19 seconds, you could sell your home. Okay, it's not going to sell your home, you're going to take a big step toward getting it sold. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find an agent selected by my team, a professional who shares your values and speaks the truth. Sell your home fast and for the most money. Get moving at realestateagentsitrust.com.
The Buck Sexton Show.
All right, team, welcome back to the Freedom Hut. We're joined now by John Fund. He is an author and columnist. His latest up on nationalreview.com is Democrats Are Right to Worry About an October Surprise. John, always appreciate it. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Buck.
Before we get into the possible Hillary October surprise that may be coming based on the statements of Assange and WikiLeaks and everything else, could you give us, I thought this was fascinating. In your piece, you go into some of the backstory of a fundraising scandal the Clintons dealt with before that I feel like a lot of people have forgotten about.
Well, it was 20 years ago during 1996's Clinton reelection effort, and it broke in the last month of the campaign. It was shorthanded the John Wong scandal. He was a Commerce Department official who later became the deputy finance chairman of the Democratic National Committee, raising money for Bill Clinton. And it was a holy mess. We didn't learn everything before the November 96 election, but afterwards, 120 people had either pled guilty, fled the country, taken the Fifth Amendment, or otherwise refused to answer questions. 22 people were convicted of various charges. The Chinese were found to have tried to influence the U.S. elections by funneling money to the Clinton campaign. There were congressional hearings, which unfortunately the Clinton administration was able to stonewall because that was the thing they did best back then and today. But enough came out before the election that it moved voters. The Republicans were in danger of losing control of the Senate and the House before the scandal. They ended up actually breaking even. And Bob Dole, who was behind between 11 and 18 points in the last polls before the election, ended up only losing by 8.
So this is the kind of thing where October surprise, I mean, usually when people refer to October surprise, right, it has to do with the hostages and there was this whole conspiracy. But sometimes there are real surprises in October that can move the election as opposed
that broke and metastasized and had, you know, pictures of a guy trying to escape subpoenas and witnesses because he didn't want to talk before the election. That would be John Wong and Charlie Tree and various other people. You now have figures in the Clinton Foundation, whether it's Doug Band or David Chang or various other people who don't want to answer questions, Huma Abedin, and the same thing. So we already are seeing more revelations than we thought we would see. And Julian Assange today is on the network saying, I have significant Hillary documents and they will be released before the election through WikiLeaks. So if you put all those together, I think there's going to be some kind of an October surprise. How big and how meaningful, I don't know.
Based on what we've seen so far, do you think it's fair to say that Hillary Clinton... Do we have enough to say that Hillary Clinton was selling access to her office? Not necessarily favors, but selling access to, I mean, sort of actions as opposed to just access. Or do we have to still say the appearance of access?
Well, there's a legal standard and there's a political standard. The legal standard... You have to have a lot of proof. You have to show a quid pro quo, which in Latin means you do this, I do this. And that's rarely given proof in email or telephone form or person to person. Politically, it sure looks like the Clinton administration and the State Department, the Clinton Foundation and the State Department had basically merged. And, you know, Hillary Clinton, ironically, opposes privatization of every government department, but apparently she thought the State Department was neat and should be merged with the Clinton Foundation in sort of a public-private partnership.
And this was all done in such a way that it allowed them to fund tremendous amounts of private travel all over the world, to pay cronies. I mean, I think that's part of why, you know, the way that most people probably read about this or hear about it, it's a charity. How did the Clintons benefit from the charity, personally?
The day Bill Clinton left office, his wife was already a senator from New York. The understanding that everyone had was that she'd be running for president, and if she ran, she'd probably be the front runner for the Democratic nomination. If she became president, she would be leader of the free world. So the Clinton Foundation became a magnet for people who wanted to curry favor with the Clintons and buy chits for the time when she became president. Well, it turned out she had a wrong turn with Barack Obama in 2008. She ended up being Secretary of State instead. But that still was very useful because the Secretary of State directs foreign policy. So she turned the Clinton Foundation into a vehicle by which people thought, at least even if they weren't told directly, they certainly thought that they could get access and get certain things if they gave to the Clinton Foundation first and then tried to talk to her or aides at the State Department.
And this also is all, right, if you write a check for $1 million to the Clinton Foundation, you get a tax write-off. It's a charity. So it's not even, people are paying for access, but they get also a tax break in the process.
Depending on, some foreign countries don't allow that. But
oh, no, I meant for U.S. citizens, though.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, but the foreign citizens, I mean, really problematic. I mean, these people who were trying to get this uranium deal, I mean, it turned out that 20% of the uranium production of the United States is now controlled by entities close to Vladimir Putin and Russia. That happened in part because the State Department signed off on it, and the people behind that uranium deal gave enormous amounts of money, millions, to the Clinton Foundation. Now, I can't prove that there was a quid pro quo, but it sure smells like a quid pro something.
And isn't the appearance of corruption often enough for, at least for federal investigators to begin
there's already a probe going on. Just because the FBI had one probe shut down doesn't mean there isn't another probe currently happening as a result of the email server investigation. Because they found a whole bunch of emails Hillary Clinton had deleted. She deleted 33,000 emails because she didn't want people to ever see them. Well, apparently the FBI has recovered a bunch of them, and they are pursuing leads that they find in those emails.
Do you think there's anything that Julian Assange can show with regard to corruption within the Clinton Foundation? I mean, let me just give you a hypothetical, John. And, you know, you've covered a lot of elections, been doing this for quite a while. If there's an email that says, okay, you know, we'll take action on this because he's this so-and-so, you know, because Oleg has been such a great donor to the Clinton Foundation, let's take action on this issue. If that email came out there, putting aside any legal issue that it could pose for Hillary Clinton herself, do you think Clinton supporters would care? I feel like I'd see a bunch of them on CNN and MSNBC and everywhere else saying, oh, well, this is how secretaries of state do business in the 21st century. I feel like it wouldn't change their minds.
Well, I am sure that some previous secretaries of state have occasionally done business like that. I think the difference is the following. One, Hillary Clinton turned it into a systematic habit. It was the essence of her time at the State Department. Secondly, look, it's not the Clinton voters that you're worried about. It's the independents and who would stay home and who would just simply be disgusted at both candidates, or candidates who simply say, I don't like Hillary or Trump, but, you know, Trump is really obnoxious, but Hillary is corrupt, so I might vote for Trump. It's not the Clinton supporters. The Clinton supporters are, you know, the Kool-Aid drinkers. It's the sliver of the voters in the middle. And remember, the easiest thing to do in a presidential election is to stay home. You don't have to vote. And if there are enough doubts about Hillary Clinton, lots of people won't vote.
Now, I know we're talking Hillary and the possibility of a Cyber October surprise is something I find just sort of fascinating as a concept. I think it's, we'll see. I have a sense it'll be kind of more of what we've already seen. I doubt that Hillary, even with control of her own email server, would have been so foolish as to put in an email an obvious quid pro quo.
She may not have, but perhaps her aides did.
Right. Well, I think that's why that was one of the main justifications in her mind for the private server in the first place, was it was sort of a fail-safe. Or if somebody sent her something saying, hey, I wrote you that big check, I expect action on this, even if she didn't necessarily respond or whatever, it would look really bad because then people would explicitly expect a quid pro quo. And maybe one of her aides would have said, okay, well, you did take it. You know, I think that's why she wanted control of it, but we have to sort of see what's in there. But I have to also ask you about Trump, John.
He'll have an October surprise, too.
What do you mean?
Oh, I think... Look, part of Mitt Romney's IRS tax returns leaked in the last month of the campaign in 2012. Do you think that's not going to happen this year? Of course it's going to happen. Some of Donald Trump's IRS information will leak out, and I can give you the odds of anyone in the IRS ever being punished for leaking will be the odds that Lois Lerner ever serves time in prison, which is not going to happen.
Now, why do you think Trump is not releasing his tax returns? This does seem to be it seems strange even to stalwart Trump supporters, I think, who are willing to at least be honest about what's going on.
Well, his son said the other day, my dad would be foolish to release the returns. Well, I agree with him. I think they're going to show three things, if they are all released in total. I don't. There might be selective leaks. I think they're going to show his net worth is not over $10 billion, as he claimed, or at least implausibly not worth that. I think it's going to show that because he's in real estate and takes aggressive use of deductions, he paid a very low effective tax rate, lower than many Americans. And three, I think his charitable contributions, at least those that he claimed on his tax returns as opposed to those that he made privately and didn't deduct, will be not as high as people think he is or he has led people to believe they are.
Do you think those would, again, now we have to focus in on who matters, people who may vote for Trump? You think that changed, you know, independents and people who might stay home, you think that affects their calculation?
Well, it depends on what they think Trump's important themes are. You know, some of his themes are immigration and anti-Hillary and, you know, building better trade deals. But some of the people are impressed by Trump because he's a businessman who, you know, wants to help the common man. Well, if he's a businessman who's not nearly as successful as he claims to be, and if he ended up aggressively making sure that he'd paid as little tax as possible, it makes him sound like somebody who's in it for himself and deceiving people. So I don't know. Again, the problem is not Trump voters voting for Hillary. The problem is Trump voters staying home. That's the issue. Because 40% of people don't vote for president. It could be 45 or 50% this year.
Could Trump, could his candidacy, you think, survive an official shift on immigration away from deportation towards what sounds a lot like the very much rejected and denounced Senate Gang of Eight immigration bill? That's kind of, he's hitting some of those points.
No. Look, the fundamental distinction between the Gang of Eight immigration bill and anything else that anyone has talked about is citizenship.
Pathway. Yeah, I know. He says that, but you can't guarantee there won't be a pathway put in the future.
Can anyone guarantee anything?
Yeah, okay, fine, but
Donald Trump, I think, knows that there are limits to what he can retreat on the immigration issue. I think what he's dealing with now is the practical reality that you don't deport 11 million people. And, you know, for whatever reason, he's decided to make that explicit. If anyone actually believed that 11 million people were going to be physically picked up and moved across the border, they have a much higher opinion of the quality and ability of U.S. law enforcement to do things than I do. And, you know, I come from a family. My brother was deputy chief of police in Tucson, worked on the border for 40 years. I know something I'm talking about. The bottom line is, as long as Donald Trump doesn't explicitly say, you know, I want to have immigration reform that includes a path to citizenship and has no consequences for the people who broke the law and came here, I think he holds most of his votes on that issue. Because in the end, people do want a wall built. They do want a crackdown on illegal immigration. I don't think they believe 11 million people are going to be deported.
I don't know, John, and this is just an opinion. You don't think that a lot of his supporters
who actually believe that 11 million people are going to be deported?
I never believe that.
They want them deported, but they actually don't believe it will happen.
No, you don't think that Trump supporters thought that he was going to really deport? I think a lot of them did believe this. I think they did, whether it's crazy or not is a different
question. Donald Trump also believes that you could go down to Fifth Avenue and he could take out a gun and shoot someone and he wouldn't lose any of his base voters. I guess we're going to find out, aren't we?
I think we are going to find out something along those lines, because if he changes on deportation...
No, I don't think he's changing any more than he has already. Which is, he's basically said, we need to enforce the laws we have. We need to take crackdown. We need to first send out the criminals among the illegal alien population. And we have to build a wall. And he hasn't retreated from that. If he goes further, then we have a conversation. I don't think he's actually retreated as far as you think he has.
All right. Well, we'll see what the Trump supporters make of all this, and we'll certainly
see. They're going to call in and let you know shortly.
Oh, just wait till my Facebook page gets lit up. John Fund, columnist and author. John, what's your latest book?
It's Obama's Enforcer, the Justice Department, and it's by Broadway Books, and it's available on Amazon, Obama's Enforcer, and it's all about how the Obama administration has subverted our Constitution and taken away our civil liberties.
All right, everyone check it out. John, always appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for the call today.
Thank you.
In the next 19 seconds, you could sell your home. Okay, it's not going to sell your home, you're going to take a big step toward getting it sold. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find an agent selected by my team, a professional who shares your values and speaks the truth. Sell your home fast and for the most money. Get moving at realestateagentsitrust.com.